We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Former Saints safety Roman Harper joining us on the line right now. Roman, how are you, man? That was a great game to take in on Monday night.
Man, how fun was that, huh? I'm doing well, guys.
I saw you the other day, too, by the way. You look like you could still play. It's pretty ridiculous.
He probably could still be in the box. Well, we could put him in the box. We could put him eight in the box. Yeah. You know, well, he could probably do zone-type coverage.
No way, guys. Hey, guys, no way. I'm not trying to tackle anybody. I'm not blowing out a shoulder for the team anymore. I promise you.
And now, Roman, looking at the progression, because obviously that's your wheelhouse. I know you understand defensive concepts. You understand the game even from an offensive perspective and how you're trying to stop them and how the Saints try to get those mismatches. But what is your take overall when you look at the likes of like a Marcus Williams and Von Bell? Marcus Williams came out the gate smoking. Boy, but it sure seems like that Von Bell's maybe surpassed him considering what he did last season and what they count on him to do this year.
You know what? I love that both of these guys are, you know, Marcus Williams came out the gate and he was lights out his rookie year. The biggest thing is I think these guys both need to understand who they are, right? And that's as safeties. Marcus, we need you to be the over-the-top sweeping safety, great in space, being able to come up and make tackles. Whether and runs don't get to 15, 20 yards, you need to be able to get a guy down at 6 to 7, 8 yards, you know? Von Bell, we need you to be flying around. You got to be great in man-to-man coverage. You have to be great in some lower zones and being able to be a dual threat by going in the back half as well and making plays on the ball. Von just has to make more and more, continue to make more and more splash plays. I said he did a great job of that later on the season. You know, the more they blitzed him, the more they found other ways to get him just moving around and making him action-packed and don't just let him be so sterile. I think Von continued to grow. You know, they drafted a couple of other safeties. And at the end of the day, that's part of the business. But just because you draft a guy doesn't mean you got to let a guy beat you out. You got to go out there and compete, and the best player always is going to play, usually.
Super Bowl champion, former Saints safety, Roman Harper on Sports Talk here on WWL. And, Roman, something that maybe doesn't get talked about, I guess, enough is obviously Will Lutz came through that clutch 58-yarder for the walk-off, but also Thomas Morstead flipping the field. He had a coffin corner punt. I mean, when you have kickers and punters that you can use as a weapon, it just makes your team that much more dangerous, right?
It has to. Not only that, but you look at the numbers Thomas Morstead put up and that punt coverage team last year. I don't think anybody even averaged more than like 2 or 3 yards of return. So they understand they have a formula. You know, Justin Hardy and the other number 48. I can't remember his name. Slipping my mind right now. But these two gunners that they
JT
have.
JT Gray.
JT Gray, Mississippi State.
That's it. Yes, these guys can fly. They make plays. And there's a reason why these guys lead the team in tackles. I mean, Thomas puts it right over there in the corner. That is Thomas's thing. He's not going to lead the league in punting yards or punting average. But his net punting, and he understands what he's trying to be. He's been a constant professional since he's got into this league. And I don't assume anything's going to change anytime soon.
Now, Roman, you talk about draft picks and rookies and the flexibility, what you've witnessed. I'm looking at Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. If you're familiar with the SEC, you've seen what he did, what he accomplished at University of Florida. But to me, what's amazing, his potential flexibility that you have. Is that the future in the NFL, like the hybrid safety? I'm not just a deep third guy, or I'm not just a guy that's going to come down on the box, but I could maybe be a corner also covering the slot receiver. It seems like that's what NFL teams are looking at. From that position, even though you might be classified as a safety, you got to do way more than maybe even when you came into the league.
Yes, you do. Not only that, but let's give safeties credit. Safeties are usually smart players. So the more you can do, the more you can think, the more you can problem solve. Because, look, it's an imperfect game played by imperfect people. You're going to have motion. You're going to have shifts. And we don't want these guys getting confused. You got to be able to look at them, things, re-diagnose, and be able to anticipate what the offense is going to do next. So, you know, yes, my man Charles Johnson, I'm always messing up, Johnson Gardner. Yes, he's going to be pretty good, man. And at the end of the day, you like that he can play some nickel, but I don't think that's going to be his mainstay. That's not going to be his bell cow and his wheelhouse. I think he's still going to have to be a safety that's able to tackle in space. Right now, contribute on special team as a young player. And when you get your opportunity, you got to go out there and make some plays. What we don't want to see is that, you know, the biggest play that you made besides that special teams tackle and kickoff late, which was a great call by Sean Payton, was the 15-yard, you know, roughing the kicker. That's what you don't want. So as long as we can stay away from that and then you continue to make plays on special teams, the coach is going to find ways to get you into the ball game and say, hey, this guy's making plays. He's showing up on tape. We got to find ways to get him on the field more.
Roman, you got to give him a break. He barely hit him in the foot. But back, I mean, hey, look, I don't know, 20 years ago, they don't even call that.
Look, I agree. It's a lot of plays where there's roughing the passer and unsportsmanlike. None of that stuff ever got called, but it's not my game anymore. It either is yours, right. Bobby. You know that.
Right. Yeah, I know that. I was like, what?
You've been able to play to your 40. You've been able to play to your 40 if you played now.
They definitely protect the quarterback.
Roman Harper, former Saints safety, Super Bowl champion. Roman, it sounded like you had your kids with you there for a minute, do you?
Yeah, my son is in the back. He's complaining because the TV cut off. I had to get some gas. He's so spoiled. It's ridiculous. I mean, kids nowadays can't even ride in the car without watching a TV or wanting to something like an iPad. Or where's the Wi-Fi at, Dad? I'm like, dude, it's ridiculous.
Hey, I want to talk to you. As a player, right, you see – If you guys do something on the field, you get fined, right? If you're not wearing your socks the right way, you get fined, whatever. Coaches, they can be fined as well. Officials screw up on the field with a clock management, nothing happens to them. Does that bother you as a player that probably had money taken out of your pocket at one point for something you did on the field doing your job?
Yes, of course it bothers me. And it's just not a level playing field. Look, we're all professionals on that field on Sundays, right? Everybody. That's from the referee all the way down to the guys moving the chains. Everybody's a constant professional. So when you have guys that are constantly messing this thing up, let's be honest, our referee crews are nowhere near as good as where they need to be. And, you know, they have the complete turnovers and, you know, the NFL is trying to do all these different things and it's just not working. You got to be able to get these things right. And the offices that are obviously always watching this game up in New York, you got to understand when they mess up, somebody needs to phone down and get this thing right because you're costing people parts of their career and parts of their legacy. Like, I don't even want to go back to it. But the Saints did not get a chance to play in the Super Bowl last year. And if they win it, somebody on that team is a Super Bowl champion for the rest of their life. And you can't take that from them. And unfortunately, that was taken from them last year.
Well, considering the debacle of that they messed up before halftime, you know what they get? They get a bad grade. It's like if you take a test, maybe you didn't study. Right. Oh, you're gonna get a D, and then you might not.
There's no accountability.
No, did you get a bad grade? That's the only thing. They're gonna get a bad grade, and maybe it's not gonna help their future.
Right.
Being able to officiate a big time game, but you got to get it right because I'm not saying the Saints would have scored a touchdown, but you basically had 15 seconds. No, all of a sudden the score could have been 14-6 at halftime instead of 14-3. I mean, and I'm being fair. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But
Roman and Bobby, you'd have the Saints would have had 31 seconds. Look what the Saints did with 37 seconds. Okay, so 31 seconds, they could have ran
the bottom line.
Four
the bottom
plays.
Line, it would have been a closer Will Lutz field goal. And I'm being honest. And you know, it's hard to make a 50-plus yard, and he did that. God bless Will Lutz to help us win that game. That was unbelievable, considering the pressure. But if you get closer, obviously the odds are in your favor. He would have made that. It would have been 14-6 at half. That's why the NFL games are too close. You can't screw that up like the officials did there.
It's just, you know, look, these officials are not good sometimes. And I've never even heard of that rule. So when I heard them say that, I was like, so they challenge it from upstairs because it's under 2 minutes. And because they challenge it, you punish the team, 10-second runoff. That makes zero sense. So, like, when he said that, I was like, I've never heard of that, nor does it make any sense. Why would you punish a team for them challenging something? So, you know, if you got the call right on the field, then they wouldn't have to call down and challenge it, and then you still wouldn't have to take the 10-second runoff. So them questioning their own referee makes them want to make the 10-second runoff. None of it makes sense.
Now, Roman, I think you'd agree with this. You talk about being professional. Again, the money involved, 21st century. Shouldn't we have full-time officials? Hey, listen, I understand we got college professors, we got lawyers and all. This, the NFL officiating can't be a side job. You got to be held accountable. You'll be a full-time official, and they should be compensated. I don't know, when you look at what would you pay, like a top-notch lawyer or college professor, let's say they would start out with, I think this is the range, I read this somewhere, like you can have an official full-time. Now, they're going to be held their feet to the fire, make a couple hundred thousand a year, and you're a full-time official. I mean, to me, the game is too important, too much money involved to not have full-time officials.
I thought that they were trying to work this out years ago, and the referees do not.
Sounds like we lost Roman.
All these NFL referees make so much money doing other things and having other businesses and adventures, and that's just what they do, and they referee on the side because they understand it's also a really good paying job as well, and that they have the flexibility to say, hey, if I can study from Thursday to Saturday, ref on Sunday, and still make another $120,000, $150,000, and only work 18 weeks, and if I'm good, get a couple more playoff games with a couple more checks, who wouldn't decide to do that? I mean, Bobby, I know you wouldn't mind doing it.
It's the best part-time job ever.
Yeah. Now, Roman, every player has an opinion on this. Odell Beckham, now listen, I love Odell, homegrown New Orleans, went to LSU and all that, but he's too diva for me. Sometimes you can wear, a $250,000 watch or $1 million watch. I mean, to me, it's irrelevant. And what you sporting? Well, how about you just go make a play and do something on the field instead of worrying about everybody's worried about their brand. Your best brand is to go and how about kick butt? That's why I like the humble approach of a Michael Thomas, a Julio Jones, and not necessarily Antonio Brown or even with Odell Beckham. I mean, here he is. And he's trying to press the envelope. He says, look, I'm here to play football. I would love for them to talk about football, what I do on the field. If I messed up on the field or if I didn't do well on the field, talk about my performance. Okay, well, y'all didn't do too much against the Titans. Don't talk about any extracurricular. That's just it. If anybody else would have worn a watch or if it was worth $20 watch, it wouldn't have no problem. Now, the NFL, I agree with the NFL here, there's no rule, I should say, prohibiting players from wearing jewelry. However, there's a policy prohibiting hard objects. So you know what? Odell wants to wear that hard plastic watch. You know what they need to do? Let him keep that watch on and just tape around it. And just put tape on where you can't see the watch.
I played with a watch on. So,
oh, you did?
I played with a watch on. I practiced with it every day as well. But, like, it wasn't.
Hey, Roman. You play with a watch. Now, how did that help you play better? Well, what is it? Was it like you want? You know, it's game time. I mean, come on. Nobody had to remind you. To tell me why you had that watch on.
Really, I just forgot to take it off and then just kept it on. Like, that's really all it was. I took it off at like halftime, but I wore the watch, and it's just one of those things you just kind of forget about it. Odell obviously did not forget about it. His was orange. It matched the fit.
This was
definitely planned. But you know what? I don't understand why you want to risk that much money because he's actually getting hit. So a helmet could actually hit his watch and kind of mess it up. But I think Odell's smart enough to know that he's probably got some kind of sponsorship going on with this guy. He's always about that type of deal. And I think he has a method to his madness. I don't think Odell's just sporting a $250,000, $300,000 watch. To say, oh, man, this matches my outfit as I play.
You know what? If I understand, the watch is like Richard, not Richard, Richard Millet or something, M-I-L-E, Richard Millet. So just the name sounds like it costs $250,000.
I've never even heard of it. He obviously learned that when he was in New York, not in Louisiana.
I've actually seen that in Departure magazine, actually advertised.
All right, we've spent way too much time talking about watches. I'm just telling
you. But everybody in the nation's talking about it. About Odell Beckham.
Roman Harper, Super Bowl champion, former Saints safety. Roman, what's your biggest takeaway league-wide after week one?
The Baltimore Ravens, if they keep this up, are going to be for real. And that the New Orleans Saints may miss Mark Ingram more than what we want to let on to. Mark Ingram hits the hole with power and gets the thing going. Did you see the emotion? Baltimore was a completely different team the moment Mark Ingram got that first run, ran over a guy, and went out there and do it. Now, I understand it's the Dolphins, but the Dolphins, no NFL team tries to lose a game. They just got their butt kicked, all right? They just got their butt kicked. So that's what my first, the biggest take that I'm taking away from that is that the Baltimore Ravens, if they have this passing game and they can do all this other stuff like they did, they're going to be for real. And I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Well, in Roman, the last thing, I think Latavius Murray is going to help the Saints. And I think he's good, but Mark Ingram's better, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, I think they're both good players. I just think Ingram's better.
Yes. I just hated that, you know, the deal wasn't made, and it was only over a couple $100,000. At the grand scheme, you know what I mean? That's what's disappointing to me. I understand $2 million, 2.5, but you look at a former player like myself and with you, Bobby, nowadays, it's going to cost you a few $100,000 to move your family, and now we got to find a different place. We got to find movers, you know, transporting cars, all these other things. So it's going to cost you a couple $100,000. And is that really worth picking up and leaving? Now, his happiness, the fact that Baltimore is going to run the ball, he's going to be the main guy. He's not going to have to split carries with AK. And when Sean all of a sudden gets in this thing where he just wants to throw it all over the place, Mark's never going to have a game where he has only a little less than 10 carries. That's not going to have to be an issue. So for that aspect of it, he's going to get his carries and he's going to get his shine on. And they seem like they're going to have a great time up there in Baltimore and be successful. So I wish my brother the best. Roll Tide.
Roman Harper, former Saints safety. Look, I think that might change this year, LSU and Alabama. I think LSU's got a shot to upset the Tide.
You know what? If my daughter was running up and down the street for 7 years and one chance she hasn't done something different, then maybe it's her. So hopefully – good luck to LSU, this new passing game. And you know what? This guy, Joe Brady, you know, all the hype he's getting, he's going to get a freaking head coaching job. And he was like the 15th guy in line in New Orleans. It's crazy. But I'm just excited for the success that LSU's having. They represent the SEC. I'm glad they beat the brakes off of Texas. I was cheering for him. But, you know, let's be honest here. Alabama's defense is better than Texas. And if LSU's defensive backfield plays anything like they did against Texas, who only throw 9 balls down the field, I promise you Tua and that receiving corps at Alabama is 3 times better than what Texas has.
Well, you know, Roman, we're going to leave you with this one. All I know is I think I like LSU's chances better on the road than at home. You might say, what, you don't want them in Tiger Stadium? No, I think in Tiger Stadium that they want to do so good for the home folks that they play up tight. I think Coach O would take the approach, go in Alabama, go on the road. It's us against the world. Because I'm just looking at because it hadn't happened, like you said, in a while. But when T-Bob, I remember, Christian, I tell you this. When they were at LSU and at the regular season that they won 3 out of 5 times, the game they got spanked, national championship, but they won in Alabama. So it's not like Alabama's invincible at home. LSU has beaten them before in the 21st century. And on Bama's home turf. Now, that's a long time ago, but it still happened.
They beat me my senior year as well in Tuscaloosa, so I know it can happen. I like LSU. I'm happy that it's, what, 3 or 4 teams in the top 5 that's representing from the SEC. I mean, they're going to be good. I think LSU and Alabama are the 2 teams to beat in the SEC West right now. Auburn's quarterback gives me a little bit of question. He's just not consistent enough right now as a true freshman. I like Oklahoma and what Jalen Hurts. That scares me. I don't want to play Jalen Hurts. I'd rather LSU go or somebody else go. I don't want to see Jalen Hurts in the playoffs. I don't want to do it. It's just not a good look for Alabama. But we'll see. I'm excited about it. You guys stay healthy, and we'll see you down the road.
All right, Roman.
All right, Roman. Thanks, man.
All right, take care, dog.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.